Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Imperfectly Empowered Podcast. I am your host, Anna Fulmer. Today we have Diana Chaloux-Lessert on the show. Diana is the co-CEO of HitchFit Online Personal Training with her husband, Micah Lessert. With over a dozen customized fitness and nutrition plans, Diana has personally coached thousands of clients in 82 countries across the globe to transform their lifestyles and achieve their fitness goals. A two-time world champion fitness athlete, Diana is committed to not only empowering others to transform their bodies, but also to renew their hearts and minds through their SoulFit retreats, where faith, fitness, and fun meet to encourage whole body well-being. Here to share her expert advice on remodeling your body with food, fitness, and faith, welcome Diana Chaloux-Lessert. Diana, welcome to the podcast.
Well, thank you. I'm so glad to be here.
It is such an honor to have you here. For those of you listening and watching, Marcus Collius, if you haven't seen that interview, you don't want to miss that one. It's a great interview also about fitness. He, what did he call himself? A faux professional bodybuilder or something. It was so funny. We had a great interview, but he was like, oh my gosh, you have to meet my friend Diana. She's amazing. He spoke so highly of you. And then looking through all the stuff that you do, I was like, okay, I see why he wants to connect us, because I just feel like you're such an inspiration. You're paving the way. It's like you are way ahead of where I want to be. And so I'm always like, let's bring these people on so I can learn from them and their amazing, amazing journeys.
Oh man. Well, yeah, Marcus is an incredible human, a great friend. And yeah, anytime he introduces me to somebody, I know that it's going to be another awesome person. So I'm glad we got to connect.
Yeah. Well, it's so, you just do so many cool things. And I gave an intro already kind of, I like touched the surface of all of the amazing things that you do. But I want to rewind a little bit. So you run this virtual fitness and nutrition program with your husband. You have served thousands of clients globally. It is so cool. I really enjoyed looking over your programs, what you offer, and just the model that you have set up is really neat. And we're going to dive into that, you guys, because we have a lot of fitness people come on, and I really like highlighting their uniquenesses from what I see. And you know what they're offering, because I have said this, there is no one-size-fits-all program. I think people can benefit from the strategies in just about any program, but there are certain things that are really better for you than others. And so I'm excited to tap into some of the, I think, the really, really cool uniquenesses that you bring to the fitness industry. But let's talk about some of the backstory. We always see where we are right now, but we rarely get to see the messy in the middle. And sometimes we see the before, but we miss the process. And I was stalking your website a little bit, and you shared you were on a show, and you talked about, I think it was 2004 is when you mentioned you kind of hit your own personal low or scale high, if you will, in your journey. Just tell us a little bit about your own journey to where you got to where you are today.
Yes. Oh, that's such a great question. Yeah. It was actually 2005. And I call my specific date is July 5th of 2005 that I call it my Independence Day, because that was my day that I stopped making the excuses in my own life and actually started the process of going through my own transformation, you know, and it took me a while to get to that day because I was really, I was making a lot of excuses in my life, and I had these dreams and goals and things I wanted to do in the fitness industry, and my actions on a daily basis, they were literally pushing me in the opposite direction of where I was saying I wanted to be. So that was just kind of the mindset switch, the aha moment. And then it started this journey that led me literally to where I am today. But how I got to that place where I needed to have that aha moment was, I was always into fitness. I was an athlete as a kid. I kind of just went through this period of time. I didn't know a lot about nutrition. It's like when we grow up, I feel like we don't really have great information about how we're fueling our bodies. It wasn't something my parents knew about. So it was pretty just, you know, it was a traditional, I guess was pretty traditional. Like, you know, we had fish sticks, and we had, you know, it's just like, you just
elite
really
college athletes today still don't know.
Yeah.
Nutrition.
Yeah.
It's yeah, for it's real. Yeah.
It so it's like you're growing up and you're an active kid. And then as you start getting older, you still have no idea about this. And you have all this information on TV of like, hey, if you just do this ab workout 3 days of the week, you're going to be shredded with abs. And so there's just
take this pill.
Yeah. So it was just like, you know, as I remember growing up, it was like, well, I don't understand. Like, I really thought when they said on TV, you take this pill or you do this ab workout, you know, 3 days of the week, that you looked like those people. And that's what happened to your body. So it really, and I would do those things all the same time, you know, like, you know, college and all that is like drinking a lot of beer and eating a lot of garbage. And then wondering, I can't figure out why, you know, I'm doing these crunches 3 days of the week. And I don't understand why my body's going in this opposite direction. So it was kind of that there was a lot of confusion and just not knowing, I think, initially. And then as I got into the fitness world, I started really diving in more and more into the fitness pieces, but not putting into play the nutrition piece. And then I actually worked on a cruise ship. I got a job. It was an amazing job. I was a fitness director on a cruise ship, which is fantastic, but it was also caused a lot of loneliness because on the ships, like people come and go, I missed my family. And I won't say I wasn't depressed because I never labeled myself that. I had depressive feelings, and that led me to a lot of emotional, like overeating and binge eating. And I was eating in my cabin. I gained a ton of weight while I was the fitness director on this ship. Like I gained at least 40-ish pounds like within a year. So it was a pretty fast gain. And it was a scary behavior that I was developing because I would kind of try to starve myself throughout the day. And then I'd get to the point where I was so hungry, and then I would just binge eat at night and just stuff myself. And that was kind of my way of soothing those emotions and soothing those feelings. And when I got off the ship, I was the heaviest I had ever been, but I had really developed this habit of that was where I was going to feed my emotions and to, and it was always this hidden behavior. It was like this secret behavior that I wouldn't tell anybody about. And I would be like, oh, I don't know. I guess I'm just getting older. That's why I'm gaining weight. And I'm just becoming this voluptuous woman. Like that's what I kept telling myself.
Yeah.
I knew that I was making these poor choices, but I didn't want anybody to see it. I didn't want to admit it. In the meantime, it's wreaking havoc, not just on my body, but it's, you know, it's going to start wreaking havoc on my health too. Yeah. It was, you know, so I kind of, and I was working in a gym. Like I got out of the ship, got a job at a gym. I'm teaching other people how to be healthy and I'm not living it myself. So I felt very fraudulent. I felt very like I was saying these things, but I wasn't living authentically the things that I was saying. So there was just this like constant inner conflict that was happening.
Which feeds that shame cycle.
Yes.
It just feeds it all the more. It's like, how do you interrupt that behavioral pattern? Yeah.
Yeah. And it was like, I also knew that God had something more for me. So there was that piece too of knowing, I know he's giving me these, like these dreams and these, you know, visions. And I'm like, there's this piece of like, I know that I'm not walking in integrity in what I'm doing. And I have to make a change because the conflict within me is coming because I know I'm supposed to be something different and something more and more excellent in what I'm doing, and I'm not doing it. And so I really battled and struggled with that for a long time. And the 4th of July, 2005, I went out, I drank beer with my friends. I went to McDonald's, you know, we were drunk. And so then we went to McDonald's to eat. And I remember having a caramel sundae. And then the next day I had to go into the gym to train people to be healthy. I felt disgusting. I felt bloated. I remember waking up, looking at myself in the mirror in the morning, and I didn't recognize myself. I was like, my face was puffy and swollen and my eyes were bloodshot. And I was like, what are you doing? Like, what are you doing to yourself? And I drove to the gym that day. And I remember just thinking like, where am I going? Like, if I keep this up, where is this path leading me to?
Yeah.
And
where do I
luckily, I
end?
had a friend say to me that day at the gym, because I talked about wanting to do fitness shows and competitions. And I walked in that day, and this, his name was Bill. He was another one of the trainers. And for some reason that day, he came up to me and he's like, "Hey, I heard you saying that you wanted to compete someday and that you wanted to do this." And he was like, "What are you waiting for?" And it was finally that the five words, "What are you waiting for?" I had no answer to that. And I was like, "What am I waiting for?" I changed everything that day. Like I went home, I actually hired a coach for myself. I ended up hiring two coaches just to help me stay accountable and just to start teaching me, because I was like, I know it's the nutrition piece. If I want to like step into this new like life, now I know it's my nutrition. I actually signed up for my first show that day, and it was like, it was going to be like 6 months away. So I was giving myself time to like figure this out and make these changes. And I started working on my eating habits. I put it out there. I told people this is what I'm doing so that I'd have even some external accountability. And I did it. I didn't turn back. I didn't make any more excuses. I found the people that I needed to help me on the journey, and I just did it. And I started what it was for me. I'll tell you, that journey, not only did I lose, I lost the weight over that course of several months just by changing my habits. And then little by little, every single day was a choice. Every single day was a little choice. And it was so ingrained in me of like, I'm doing this, that you could dangle whatever food in front of me, it was my favorite food. I didn't care. Like this thing that I was working towards was so much more important to me now. I didn't care about a moment of eating something. It also helped me break that behavior that I felt really trapped in. I felt that emotional eating at night. I felt really in bondage to that behavior. So for me, the whole process, the discipline created this freedom. And I was like, oh my goodness, that doesn't have control over me. And as I just developed those new habits, I ended up winning that first show, which was just I don't even know that I would have had to have won it, but I did. And that was such validation that this is the course that I'm supposed to be on. I have not turned back. This year will be 19 years. The July of this year will be 19 years since that day. I have not turned back to those old habits. Like, it is like when I think of her, I was such a different person. And it was like, I've just had such a renewal of my mind, a renewal of my habits, and it's created this whole new life. And I wouldn't trade it for anything. It's like, I had such fear of that discipline, and that discipline is what was allowed me to have such a beautiful life now and help so many other people.
I love what you said, that discipline created freedom, because discipline is really not a word that we resonate with, right? We hear it and we're kind of like, oh, our skin crawls a little bit, because we think discipline and we think shackles a little bit. It's like, okay, well, if I discipline myself, then I can't do this, 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 and this, as opposed to this idea of, well, no, actually, we put these barriers in place in our life so that we actually experience abundance that feels free and freeing, and it actually releases the shackles. But for somebody listening who resonates with what you are saying, those emotions of shame, the binge eating alone in isolation, because I think this is true for many, many people, what would you say is the next best step when we talk about that mentality change? Because as you know, that is really where it starts. It's like, you have to start changing your thinking when you want to change the behavior and sustain it. You took a pretty drastic move, and I'm already picturing the moms out there thinking like, I literally don't have time to be training for, right, a world championship or a world. But what is that shift that they can make today to start walking in that different direction and interrupt that behavioral pattern? Ladies, would you love to start your day feeling calm and confident with a morning routine that didn't sacrifice your sleep? Introducing Early Morning Habit, the virtual holistic health program helping busy women revitalize faith and fitness with a morning routine that starts each day with God's word and a workout.
Before, I always felt like I was waking up behind. When I wake up in the morning, I feel better equipped.
The chaos after Early Morning Habit, I would say peace. Fearful. I now wake up every day hopeful. From pressure to freedom.
Tired. More energy.
Frantic to prepared.
Wasted to maximized.
Overwhelmed to more collected.
I really have, can I say, become a morning person?
Here's the best part. Every day you rise for yourself, you help a child wake up to the hope of a forever family through our adoption fundraising program. Visit www.earlymorninghabit.com and start rising today.
Yeah, that's a great question. And yeah, I would say for me, it was competing. It was that. That's not what it is for everybody. And, you know, it's, and the majority of the people that I work with, they're not, I don't work with a whole lot of competitors or anything like that. It's mostly like regular people trying to, for me, it's like, I needed that level to make that big of a shift because I also knew, in my heart, like that there was a path God had for me in that
yeah,
space.
And God used that. That's what's so beautiful. Yeah. It's like every story is different. And I love that that was what he used. And you have such a powerful testimony because of those experiences.
Yes.
Because you did, and you have that now, you know, that experience as well to bring to the fitness industry.
Yes.
Which is beautiful.
But for a lot of people, it's not going to be that. It's going to be, it may be something different. If you're a parent, if you are a wife, if you are, I work with a lot of business owners and entrepreneurs and CEOs, your reasoning, your why, your big why is going to be different. It may look different. You may want to, for the parents, it may be you've got kids, you want to have not just have energy for them, but be able to really be present in their lives. Mm-hmm. And to be the most present that we can in our lives, it means we have to take care of this thing that we have been given. Like, this is such a gift. We all get this one incredible gift, and each of us gets this unique one. And to me, loving myself means I take care of this. Like, I don't consider the behavior I was doing before of shoving junk food in and drinking too much and not caring for this thing and making it as healthy and as strong as I could. That wasn't loving myself. You know, I think to me, loving myself enough so that I'm the best for everybody else in my life, because I think it has to start here. Like, you want to be great for your kids. You want to be great maybe for your spouse or your job. It has to start here. You will not be the best that you can be in all of those other areas of life that you are called to. All of your other roles in life, you will not perform at your best. You will not have your best energy, your best creativity, your best strength, your best levels of resilience, your best levels of being able to handle what life throws at you, if you do not take care of this thing first. So, and it may be just simple. A lot of people, it's simple changes. A lot of people, it's, you know, making small changes to nutrition. It's starting to exercise. So it can start small. Even my journey was little tiny choices that I made every single day. Mm. I had a bigger thing that I was working towards, but to break it down, it still came down to today, what am I going to choose to put in my body to eat? Today, how am I going to choose to move my body? Mm-hmm. You know, so it's still, regardless of what it is, it's still going to break down to those little tiny choices you make day to day.
I love that. And for all of our friends listening and watching, if you've not heard me say this before, Diana is reiterating this, but I have said this, I have heard it time and time again from professionals who have years and years of expertise. When it comes to any behavioral shift that you want to see in your life, we have this mixed messaging in society, because you'll see the Pinterest pins, you'll see the shirts, you'll see fill in the blank, where it says passion fuels purpose. My take on it is actually that purpose more effectively fuels passion. When you get really clear on your why is when you overcome that barrier of motivation, because motivation is bound to emotion, in which you and I know. One morning I wake up and I'm like super motivated. I feel good about myself. I feel like I look good in the mirror. I don't mind it. And then the very next day, I feel like crap. I feel, you know, frumpy. I feel like and nothing, my body fat percentage has not changed in 24 hours. It's strictly how I feel and how I think. So I love what you just said. You have heard it from the Diana, who has had way more years of experience than me. So take it from her if you don't take it from me. But like, you have got to get clear on your why. Write it down, stick it on a sticky note, put it on your fridge, put it on your mirror, put it on any place that you feel like you need to see it to remind yourself of why you are amazing enough to invest in and the impact you can have on the world. So get clear on your why. Said it before. I'll say it again. Diana has said it. So if you don't believe me, believe her.
Yes, believe it. Yeah. I mean, and it is so critical to understand why you're doing something, because what you just touched on right there, some people think, I hear this a lot. They think that I don't feel motivated to do this. I'm not motivated to work out today. I'm not motivated I lost my motivation.
Yep.
This is not about motivation. Motivation can be great for getting you started, and it's wonderful when we have high positive motivation. But motivation is like a wave. It ebbs and flows. It comes and goes. Motivation is not going to be a constant. It's not a constant. I know some extremely successful people. It is not a constant for the absolute most successful people.
Yeah.
And that's where that discipline piece comes into play. Of it's not about motivation, because I will tell you right now, you are not going to feel motivated every single day to do the things that you need to do to become your best self, to be your best in all these roles, to achieve your goals, whatever that is. You will not be motivated every single day. So it boils down to that discipline. It boils down to making the commitment in advance. This is what I'm going to do. And I'm going to do this even if I do.
I
work with a lot of business owners and entrepreneurs, and it's like, how successful would your business be if you only showed up and did the things you needed to do for a successful business on the days that you felt like doing it?
Right.
You wouldn't have a successful business. You may be out of business. You're not going to succeed in that business role if you only show up and if you only do things on the days that you feel like doing it. So if we treat our bodies and our health the same way, if you want to be successful in this thing, in this business, if that's what you want to see it as, you have to do the things even on the days you don't feel like doing them.
Yeah. And there's another point that you made. So you get clear on your why, discipline over motivation. And then you also mentioned that you surrounded yourself with the people who are going to support your goals. And this is, again, where I think we get ourselves in trouble is, you know, let's just talk about virtual fitness programs, for example. One of the challenges with them is there's rarely live, real life interaction. Like, once upon a time, you went into a gym, you worked with a personal trainer. They could literally smack you on the face if they wanted to, right? There's like physical interaction. They could hug you. I guess I should say that better. Right. But there's that physical interaction, and the upside to the virtual program is that we have convenience, which is great in our lives. But the downside is we do miss that human interaction. And so it's really easy for us to still try to make these changes alone. And so I also want to point out for everyone listening, something that you said is you intentionally surrounded yourself with people who were going to support that goal. And whether it be the busy entrepreneur who often feels very lonely, I think you and I can both testify to that, because it's just a different world. Entrepreneurship is hard, and add parenthood to that or whatever, it's easy to miss the need to be making those changes and surround yourself with people who are going to support your goals, because your family might be used to eating the junk that you've been stuffing your face with as well. So you need to mentally pull away and find other people who are not doing that, who are going to support where you want to go, because maybe they're already there. So I just feel like you touched on some of the most key elements to making those changes, which is beautiful.
Yes. I think that's, you know, especially when it comes to a fitness goal where it's going to require those lifestyle changes. Like,
yes,
it's going to not just the physical things you're doing. It's honestly more mental changes than it even mm-hmm. is the, yes, we can teach you how to eat. Yes, I can teach you how to train, how to work out, how much to do, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. The bigger piece of the puzzle is working on those mental changes and those mental pieces. And I always tell people, it's like, if that doesn't change first, or at least through the process, you're going to go right back to the starting point. So anytime you look at, I'm going to go on a diet, or I'm just going to do this thing, or I'm going to cut out this food group for the next 12 weeks. Like, right. If there's not a mental transformation, and I even say it's a heart transformation, mm-hmm. it's taking on this new identity, is like, this is who I am. I'm a fit and healthy person. So I make fit and healthy choices regardless of the situation or regardless of what life throws at me. That mm-hmm. doesn't mean perfection. That doesn't mean things are always going to go perfectly and I'm going to get every meal in perfect and every workout in. Right. That's actually probably not going to happen. Like, I don't think I've ever met a human being that actually happened.
Yeah.
But it's making sure that I'm acting with excellence in these areas and I'm making the best choices I can and I'm being as prepared as I can so that I can just have this level of excellence in this area of my life, which pours into every other area of my life too. And I just want to add one thing to what you said too,
is like, please,
finding the right people, but you're also, for me, it also meant eliminating some people from my life too. It was the, and family's a little different. You can't necessarily eliminate family.
Yeah.
So that's a little,
at least
different.
Not legally.
Not legally, maybe, but there may be conversations that can be had, or just, hey, I'm not pressuring you guys to do this, but can you give me the space and the support? Because, and making it about your health and about who you want to become, as opposed to necessarily a weight loss goal, I think is more powerful than I'm trying to become a healthier person, is often better received than I'm trying to lose 30 pounds in that scenario. But there are other people and places that you can eliminate, and you're going to need to eliminate places that maybe you've gone that, you know, whether it's bars or whether it's, you know, social things that you may need to stay away from those things. And there may be friends that need to go. The friends that are like, you're not fun anymore, you know, or the friends that are like, well, haven't you lost enough? You don't need to keep doing that. Honestly, I had to cut a lot of those people out because I was like, you're sabotaging me. If you're a friend of mine, if you actually love me, then you want what's best for me. And if I say, here's this awesome goal that I have, and then you start trying to do things that are like sabotaging me from getting there, I'm like, I don't think you really love me. And and I can't have friends in my life that try to pull me that way. That can be scary. But I'm telling you that when you step into something new and start finding the people that are going to empower you and support you, they are there. There are people out there that want to be like, yes, you can do it. Here's how you can do it. And I want you to succeed like far beyond what you can even dream. Those people exist. And they're just out there. You just have to find your new tribe. Life is going to be so much better when you have a tribe that is empowering you rather than one that is trying to drag you down.
Yeah, I love that. And what you touched on is that takes a degree of vulnerability, and that's hard. And so, you know, for our friends listening, like, that's kind of the message too that I'm hearing Diana portray, is it takes vulnerability. It's a risk. You step out of your comfort zone, but there is power in that, because then you're going to find the people who are going to support you, and being really clear on your goals, which might be uncomfortable, even for the people that you love and your family. But being transparent about it, I love what you said. It's when you isolate yourself, that's when you really get stuck and trapped in that behavior. So just be transparent, and then you're going to get accountability in a whole different way. All right, you guys, we are playing a speed round here of Would You Rather. with Diana. All right, Diana, would you rather cardio or weights?
Weights. 100,000%.
She's like, what are you talking about? I'm a bodybuilder. Weights.
No question.
What do you have, because this is like your expertise, is there a favorite body part to strengthen? Like, do you have one that you're like, I love this. This is what I love.
Me personally?
Yes.
Legs. It's always been
okay.
Always leg training for me. Yep.
Yeah. What's your very favorite move? Like, you see it on your own workout sheet and you're like, I'm excited to do this one.
Oh, leg press has literally been my favorite exercise for probably the last 20 years.
Yeah. I love that. This is when you know. This is when you know that you're a fitness expert, when you can actually bring it down to the one workout move that you especially love. Okay. Would you rather camping in the woods or a house on the beach?
I would say camping in the woods. My husband would say house on the beach.
Micah, you are welcome to insert your opinion here.
Yeah. For me, I'd rather be in the woods for sure.
So interesting. Where did you guys both, because you're in Missouri, right? Is that right?
We live in Kansas City, Missouri. Yep.
Yes. Yes. So where do you guys go on vacation then?
We do a lot of hiking trips. Like when we can go.
Okay.
So and Costa Rica. If it's either Costa Rica, which we actually like the mountains in Costa Rica.
Okay.
Or some of our favorite trips, we did Norway last year. We did Iceland, but Montana, Colorado. Like when we do big trips, it's usually big, big hiking trips.
I love that. Well, Costa Rica at least seems like that would be a good like meet in the middle type of
marriage moment. Yeah, you can do both. You get ocean and you get mountains there. So it's a combo.
That's awesome. Would you rather cake or pie?
Pie.
What's your very favorite?
Apple pie.
Apple pie.
Yeah.
Do you have a homemade recipe that you absolutely love, or is there like a restaurant that you love?
No, I don't really like, we don't eat sugar very often, and I don't make sugar. Like, I don't know that I've ever made an apple pie in my life.
I mean, listen, you guys just need to go on to hitchfit.com and look at her and her husband. It is not shocking. They don't eat a lot of apple pie in their house.
But if I'm going to eat pie, I just want it to be apple. And I don't even have, I wouldn't have a favorite or anything. It's just, if we're at a holiday with family and I'm feel like I'm going to have some sugar, then that's what I would have.
Is that your go-to dessert? Like that would be your go-to sweet treat in general would be apple pie, or is there something else?
Apple pie or anything apple, like apple fritters.
Interesting.
Or,
yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I, it's just, that's always been my favorite. So
just apple.
Like I said, it's not part of, like, I don't crave sugar. Yeah. It's not like,
sure.
But it doesn't mean that I never have it. And if I do, it's just, for me, it's like, if I'm going to have something, I just want to have something that I'm like,
I want to enjoy it. 100%. You guys, be picky about your sugar. That's the bottom line. Be picky about it.
Be picky.
Okay. When you see somebody, do you notice their smile first or their hair first?
Oh, I would say
it's like
smile.
Weirdest would you rather ever.
Yeah, I think smile, because I'm like, I would have to say smile, because I don't think I'm very good at like, unless it's like a very like, whoa, their hair looks amazing. Like,
yeah, your hair is beautiful, by the way.
Oh,
yeah, you have beautiful long hair. Yeah.
Thank
and you have
you.
A beautiful smile. All of the above. Okay. Last question. Would you rather have a convertible or a truck?
Oh, truck. No question. That's what I drive.
Well,
is
after
a truck.
My own heart. It's my dream
I
car.
Can't not drive
oh, you
truck.
Have one? Mm-hmm.
That's what I drive a Ford Ranger. I have to have a truck. Like I haul. We
what do
haul
you haul in your
stuff.
Truck?
Just
what do you put
gym
in
equipment
it?
And you know, we own gyms. So
yes.
I call my truck the Red Rocket. It doesn't go very fast. So that's like a joke. And Micah drives a Tesla. So like if we're ever driving together and we come up to the stoplight, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to beat you. You know, the Tesla has like rocket mode. Like it's like,
yeah.
So,
yeah,
and, you know, I was joking. I'm like, yep, Red Rocket goes 0 to 60 in in 2 minutes.
Yes. Especially when we have a weight rack in the back.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
I love it. I have a dream of owning a truck.
I'm from Vermont, so I've literally driven a truck pretty much my entire life, and
that'll always
be what I choose.
That's my dream. That's my dream. We renovated our homes for the last 10 years. We're building now, praise the Lord. Done renovating our homes, but we have stuffed drywall and trim and power tools in our van for the last 10 years. And I just have this dream that I feel like if I could solve one problem in my life, it would be paint. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how people survive without a truck.
I know. No. Oh my gosh. We've had children literally squeezed between pieces of drywall and furniture, and totally not safe at all. Please don't call anyone on me. But yeah, if we just had a truck, I wouldn't have to endanger my children's lives. Anyway. Moving on, more importantly, one of the things that I loved when I looked on your website, I was scrolling through your programs, and here is one of my favorite uniquenesses that I think you and Micah already bring to the virtual fitness industry. Not only do you have over a dozen programs on there, very tailored, you guys, from vegan to gluten-free to, do you want to lose weight versus bodybuild? And there is a difference. There's so many different tailored programs, which I love. But one of the things that you talk about is this idea of body fat percentage. And I know that some of you listening just cringed already when you heard me say body fat, because it's one of those things that we hear and we're just like, I don't want to talk about my fat. I don't want to talk about a percentage related to the fat on my body. But for me and in my program, this is something that I'm really, really big on, because the scale is such a terrible indicator of our overall wellness. And as, someone who worked in emergency medicine for 10 years, I have this interesting bridge in my life where I had a foot in disease care, but I also had a foot in preventative care. And so I am telling you, with all the letters behind my name, body fat percentage is the way to measure not only your fitness progress, but also to accurately determine your disease risk. So I already love the fact, and this is because you guys are bodybuilder foundations, I think, that you're bringing this concept of body fat percentage to your programs. And you talk about weight, but a lot of it is more body fat percentage. So I would love to just hear, from your perspective, helping people think through goals based on body fat percentage and helping them understand the difference between the bodybuilder, right? That body physique goal versus a health goal when it comes to body fat percentage. Cause a lot of people miss this.
Yeah. And it's a great question. And it's, if the word body fat is, you don't want to say that, try body composition.
Yep. 100%.
Our body composition is far more important than our scale. And we try to drill this in with clients we have for the last 15 years. So It's when people just look at the scale, and I don't even like the BMI. People are like, my BMI is here. I'm like, I don't care. What I want to know is, what's the composition? Where are we at as far as how much lean body mass you have, which is muscle and our bones and, all of these other, the things besides the fat tissue. How much lean body mass do we have, and how much of the fat mass do we have? Because it's that ratio that, like you said, tells us so much more about our body. It tells us so much more about our potential for developing disease in the future. And so especially with women over the age of 40 who are so conditioned to be looking at this scale weight, and in the meantime, they are losing lean body mass because they are chasing after a scale weight. They are, they go through these starvation cycles. You're losing more lean body mass, and then you're wondering why every single time you try to go back to just eating more calories, you gain weight really quickly. It's because you lost lean body mass. So when we talk about body composition, I want to talk more about how much lean body mass you have as a priority. we can talk about the fat piece, but if you focus on having healthy muscle, if you focus on having healthy, lean body mass, and if you eat and you train accordingly to have that healthy, lean body mass, your body fat's going to reduce. And if, you know, unless you're, as long as you're not over consuming, you know, anytime you're over consuming, you're going to increase fat on your body. But if you can get in a mind frame of, I want a healthy body composition with good, healthy, lean body mass, and you eat and you train according to that, you're going to get a leaner body, which means your skill is going to come down. But it's so important to understand that you can have two people that are identical on the scale. Maybe they're identical heights. But if I have, let's say I have one woman, we'll just take women for example. You have one woman who's, let's say, 140 pounds. She's 35% of her body is fat weight. She is going to look totally different from a woman who is 140 pounds and 16, 17, 18% body fat. It's a completely different look to the body. So it's one thing if I could just really emphasize to people, let's stop just looking at the scale. It is so damaging to what we're doing to our bodies when it's chasing this number on the scale. Let's focus on lean muscle, lean body mass. And I'm not talking becoming a bodybuilder. Like women think, oh, I'm going to become a bodybuilder. You're literally not. Doesn't happen by accident. It's really, really, really hard. And it takes a lot of intentionality and a lot of time.
You will not get too bulky. You will not get too bulky, ladies. It takes so much work. It is so hard.
Yeah. And they're like, I don't want to look like Arnold Schwarzenegger. You're never going to look like Arnold Schwarzenegger. And if you look at a female, like, pro bodybuilder that, you know, you think looks extremely masculine, they didn't wake up one day and go, whoops, I did too many bicep curls.
They didn't look at their 5-pound weights in the corner and suddenly become jacked. Yeah.
Didn't happen. Never happened.
Yeah. Yeah.
One thing that can happen when I hear women saying, I get bulky when I do weights. If you're over consuming what you're expending a day, which a lot of times people think, oh, now I'm exercising. Now I'm going to eat even more.
I see this with men a lot. I think men do this a lot.
Yes.
Personally.
Both do it. The men don't complain about getting bulky.
It's interesting.
It's
the
women that complain, oh, I'm getting bulky. So if you're strength training and you're eating enough so that you are actually building, you know, enough protein, especially so that you're building lean body mass, but you're still also over consuming. So you're also still gaining fat. That is when women will think I'm bulky because maybe you're strength training and you're getting a good base of muscle, but if you're still over consuming calories, you're going to also be increasing body fat still. So it also goes in conjunction with your nutrition, with making sure you're getting enough protein so that you can have healthy muscle, but that your body fat can be lower. And then you can just, you know, when women say toned, I want to be toned. Guess what toned means? All toned means is you have a low enough body fat percentage so that you can actually see shape of your muscle. So whenever women are like, well, what exercise do I need to get toned? I'm like, what you're saying is you want to see a shape to your muscle. The only way we see a shape on our body is if our body fat is low enough that we can actually see the shape to the muscle.
Yeah. And I'll also throw out there, I think sometimes where women also get frustrated is they start to see tone, but they still feel like their belly is bloated. Or like they don't have the lean. And I see this with men a lot too. And what you just said, I think too, if we're going to get even more specific, you need to look at the quality of the carbs that you're eating. I think a lot of times because you get hungrier. And so I see men and women starting to consume more, like you said, but then also being careful that the quality of the carbohydrates are not the empty carbs, but the high nutrient density carbs, which comes down to fiber. You want high fiber carbs, which sounds backwards because you're like, that's going to make me more bloated, but it's actually going to lean up some of that because you're now getting rid of those processed, empty, just sugar-based carbs. I don't know if you have clients talk about that, but I get that and see that sometimes with people.
Yeah. I mean, we teach a really balanced approach to eating where it's like, you're, you know, really good high protein, but also you're getting your healthy carbs, getting your healthy fats. I prefer people eat for the most part, the mo- most part, eat as whole foods as you possibly can. Yeah. You know, some things that are slightly processed make life easier. So it's not like whole foods all the time. So there's slightly processed things that are really healthy choices too. But it's just having that good combination. Our bodies are literally designed. Carbohydrates are not this evil thing. God designed our bodies to use. There's three macronutrients that our bodies are designed to use. Fat, protein, carbohydrates. It's how he designed us. So we don't have to be like, oh, cut this out, cut that. Like literally that's our design, is to be able to use those things. But there are ways of making sure we're eating healthy options in these and not having more than our body actually needs, and good proportions of these things so that we can function optimally. I think that's a great thing. And a lot of times for the women, if it's the belly, it's consistency over time. Because sometimes people see a little progress and they're like, I see these changes here, but I still have it here. Then keep doing it. Mm-hmm. Then stay consistent. Mm-hmm. Because the parts of our bodies that are the most stubborn, those are typically going to be the ones that change more slowly. Whether that some women, that's their lower body, some that's their belly, like whatever it is for you, we're all designed a little different. Yep. What I can tell you is if you just do something for 12 weeks and you're like, oh, I still have this belly, then you need to keep doing it. Then you need to keep going, because it's consistency over time. And that's why we try to drill it into people. It's got to be a foundational lifestyle.
Yes.
Because anytime it's like, oh, well, I did this and my belly still didn't go away, so then I just went back to doing what I was doing. You're never going to get past that if you don't just stay consistent with the habits for like, and I don't mean like maybe, I literally mean for life. It's like, it's like the only way you're going to get there and then stay there is if it's a created lifestyle. The only reason that I lost 50 pounds 19 years ago and I have not gained it back in 19 years is because of the habits that are my normal. And it doesn't mean they're perfect, but it means it's my normal. And I know what my normal is, which means if I want to go out and have some chips or if we want to go out to eat, I don't even worry about it. I have whatever I feel like having in that moment because I know what my normal is. And I know what I'm coming back to, and I just slide right back into those habits. And I know that keeps me in a place where I get to love my body and I get to feel great. I get to wear whatever I want to wear. I'm a 46-year-old woman. I'm not on any medications. Mm-hmm. I mean, so it's like, I just get to live this amazing life because of those choices and just doing it consistently.
Yes. Yes, I love that. It's the small steps forward, small consistent steps forward. You not only do you have a book that came out, you also are doing what you call your Soul Fit retreats. These are so cool. I love it. I was reading about them. They look amazing. It's basically where food, fitness, and faith meet. Food, fitness, faith, as well as a lot of fun. And they look really, really neat. So tell us a little bit, twofold. Tell us about your book and about the Soul Fit Retreat.
Oh, great. Yeah. My latest book is called Business of Your Body. And like I mentioned earlier, I work with a lot of entrepreneurs, CEOs, business
owners. You
guys,
this is like her fifth book, by the way. No big deal, right? Is this like number five?
That's number five. Yeah. Yeah. I got a lot of words and I got to get them onto the pages.
I love it.
I was like, there's so many words. And I'm like, I got more words. So that one is really specifically geared towards, I touched on this a little bit earlier of just when I know so many successful business people, they excel in what they're doing in business but they are not taking care of their physical body. And then when they don't take care of their physical body, what they don't realize is how that impacts their brain, how it impacts their levels of creativity, their ability to focus, how they respond to situations, because there's always going to be stressful situations that come up. Just being able to handle stress and staying in a good place mentally, all of that boils down to if we're taking care of our body and treating our body like the business. When you're successful in business, you have all of the disciplines. You know how to be persistent. You know how to be consistent. You know how to show up and do the things even when you don't feel like doing them. You know that you need a plan you know all of these things, you're doing them in your business, and that's why it's successful. So that book is really all about the mind shifts that we have to make to, this is also business. You're an entrepreneur, you're a business owner, you're a CEO. You know the things. You just have to apply them to this. And guess what? It's not just that you get to look better. Yeah, that's a side effect. Being able to look better, great side effect. Being able to wear the clothes that you want. I hear that a lot from female top level executives.
Yeah.
They walk in their closet. They're frustrated because they're like, I don't even want to wear anything in here. I don't feel like I look good. So it solves that problem.
Yeah.
Walk into the closet and you can put anything on. There's those things that, you know, maybe they're a little more superficial, but then there is the bottom line things of like, if you will take care of your health first, you're going to be better for your employees. Those ideas that are clogged up in your brain because you have this brain fog. Guess what? You're going to be more creative. You're going to be more focused. You're going to be able to handle more. There's a financial aspect. Studies show that CEOs who take care of their health and fitness actually literally make more money. Women, it's something like 12% higher income. Men, I think it's like 6 to 7% higher income. So if it's financial gain you're looking for, start here. You're literally going to actually make more money when this is its healthiest and strongest. So that's what that whole book is about, is just working on those mindset shifts so that we see our body as a business, and we have to apply those same principles to business success to this body. And then it's actually going to multiply everything else too. So
I love that. I love that. That link will be in the show notes, of course, you guys. But if you know of somebody who might benefit from that too, this is very specific to business owners, entrepreneurs, you know, men and women who are hustling hard to help them regain their health. It's called Business of Your Body, the Burnt Out, Stressed Out, Nonstop Busy Business Professionals Guide to Being CEO of Your Health and Fitness. It's a rock solid title right there.
Yeah,
CEO of your health and fitness.
It's a long one, but I'm like, well, when you read that, you're going to know exactly who it's for. So.
Right. It's like, oh, yep, that's me, burnt out, stressed out, nonstop. Yep, that's right. So we'll make sure that link is included. You can give it as a gift or buy it for yourself. Highly recommend that. And then your SoulFit retreats, if you want everything that I just said, a weekend or a couple days of faith, fitness, food, and fun, which you're not going to get too many places. Tell us about your SoulFit retreat.
So SoulFit is really, we've created just these incredible experiences, and it's been such a beautiful thing to see it evolve. And we say it's, you know, it's faith and fitness and just taking a really unique combination of these two things. And sometimes when people hear, and we say faith because, you know, Micah and I, we are believers in Jesus Christ. Like that is our foundation. And it pours into everything else that we do.
Yeah.
So we can't really go into situations and not like, our faith is so integral to our marriage and our businesses and everything. So it's like, we welcome anybody. Like we have a mishmash of people that come to the retreats because maybe they're interested in the fitness pieces, but we will always lead from that place of like, this is where my heart is, this is where my faith is. And we want to serve people and we want to see people from that set of eyes. So it just creates this beautiful space of just being able to bring people in, and regardless where they are in their faith walk, they're still welcome to be a part of this. We're just always honest and bold of like, this is our foundation.
We love Jesus and we're going to talk Jesus.
I love Jesus and I'm going to talk about Jesus.
Unapologetic lovers of Jesus and business and all the things.
Yeah, exactly. So that's really the foundation for us. And then obviously the fitness piece. And again, we just have people coming in. Some people use the retreats as a means to get into great shape. Some people use it as they're looking for community and they're looking for support. They're looking for that tribe because they want to be healthier. So we have people come in of all different fitness levels. And we kind of create this space where it's safe to talk about the things that are hard and that are challenging. So with HitchFit, what we've done for years is it's, you know, teaching the training and the nutrition and getting people to this great pace physically. Yeah. SoulFit is what it sounds like. We're digging deeper in these environments and we're creating these, how I like to describe it is like It's a place where love thrives and where wounds are healed. Because a lot of times when we're struggling in these places in our life, it's because there's stuff we need to work on. So we want to, we've created these safe spaces where people come together, they take the masks off because it's not, yeah, we're all going to work out and we're all perfect.
Right.
We literally create a space the day one where we bring everyone together. And it's not us sharing, speaking to them. We give them space. We want to hear about you. And we want to hear your story. And it's not forced. Like some people, it may be, here's my name and here's this. And and they don't feel comfortable yet. But I'm telling you, when we've created these spaces and community, we do a lot of stuff in advance to connect people. And people come in and they're like, I'm struggling with this addiction. I'm struggling with this massive loss. We've had people coming in sharing about abuse, whether it's physical or sexual or whatever it is. And they're like, and I just sit there in awe of God because I'm like, that he allowed us to create this space where people feel safe enough to share some of the most vulnerable pieces of themselves. So then we can be a part of helping to hold them and part of helping with that healing journey. Some people may need more support, whether it's getting with counselors and things like that. So I don't want to insinuate that we're counselors, but we're creating a space where we're like, hey, we love you. Like we're here for you. Like, let's take those masks off and then let's just dig in and let's do this work together and let's get stronger in our bodies, our minds, and our spirits. And let's do it together. So this amazing community of people is coming together. And when we do that out the gate at a retreat, everybody's like, you're my best friend. Like they see each other. You don't have to walk around.
Yes, pretend. Right.
You don't have to pretend. And so the connection and the conversation, not just with what we have, but what they start having together, we just stand back. And Mike always says, I don't stand in the way of God. I'm just like, we're just like, we leave
your
space.
Facilitators.
So we're just like,
yes,
whatever this is supposed to look like, I'm going to create a curriculum and then I'm going to leave the space for God to come in and do what only he can do. It's how we've led every one of them. It's how we led our conference that we just had in January. And he shows up every single time in the most beautiful ways. And so it's, that's why it's like, it's faith, it's fitness. Yeah. We're working out. We do, we offer lots of opportunities to work out. We do really awesome things. We have mastermind groups where, you know, but then there's also time you want to spend with your spouse. We have couples, we have singles. Singles may strike up great friendships or maybe they want some alone time. So there's this space to breathe and take your own time if you want. Nothing is mandatory, but we just create this stuff. And then we find most everybody comes and joins in pretty much the whole thing because they want that. It's such a great feeling when you feel seen and you feel heard and you feel like you're in a group of people that wants to lift you up, empower you, encourage you. And we say they're life-changing because that's what people tell us when they leave. Like, and not just then, it's months later. Like, I can't believe it. I have these new relationships and I have worked on this piece, whether it's a fitness piece or business pieces. We have a lot of entrepreneurs. So it's a lot of business work too, where they pour into each other. We pour into them, but they're pouring into each other. And we're just, again, we're just facilitators of this. And it's sometimes I find it hard to explain exactly what happens at the retreats because God has shown up in such cool ways at everyone that I'm like,
I couldn't plan for that. Yeah.
I literally didn't plan that. Don't know how
I
that
love
happened.
It. Yeah, so, you guys just have to show up. You just have to show up so that you can see God show up in an incredible way. I love it. It's such a cool. Well, as you know, I am all about marrying faith and fitness. Literally, Early Morning Habit is holistic health program meets a faith and fitness accountability app. So it's such an honor to meet people in the space who share such a heartbeat. And I'm so honored to be able to learn from you and just pray God's blessing over the, not just the SoulFit retreats, but the virtual interactions and just the way that Jesus is working through you in ways that you may never even know is just such an honor and an encouragement to me. Hitchfit.com is where their virtual programs are. If you want to check out Micah and Diana's virtual program offerings, their fitness and nutrition programs. And then SoulFit retreats, is that also on that same website?
There's a link. It's a separate website. There is a link to it on the HitchFit site.
On HitchFit.
But soulfitretreats.com is where our next retreat is coming, is May 30th to June 3rd in Mexico. And we do, as of right now, we have a couple rooms left for that one for anybody that wants to join us. But it's, that one is soulfitretreats.com.
Okay. So we have soulfitretreats.com. You can go to hitchfit.com and also get there. And then we will, of course, include the link to her book as well, her fifth book. Make sure you check out the other books. In case you're not an entrepreneur and you're like, but I want other books, I'm sure she has one for you, as well as a program for you. It was such an honor, my friend. Is there anything else, anywhere else that you want to send people to follow along?
Oh, no, those are the main ones. But thank you so much. Thank you so much for your time. And thank you for, you know, doing what you're doing and just, you know, spreading a message and spreading love. And, you know, just seeing the heart of Jesus in you is a beautiful thing.
Thank you. Thank you so much for listening to the Imperfectly Empowered podcast. I would love to hear your thoughts from today. Leave an honest review of the show on Apple Podcasts and let us know what you think. Remember, your story matters and you are loved.